Hello, this is day 19 of a 30-day journey into stillness. Excuse me. Diving deep while honoring surface. Many spiritual seekers suffer needlessly because we do not discriminate between depth and surface. Depth is the unchanging, timeless dimension of being, and surface operates on time and space. We have bodies, we have a certain lifespan. The day comes, the day ends, darkness comes, and then the dawn comes. I spent years being angry at God, life, myself, because I was trying to make this learning ground of surface or manifestation be depth. Well, it can be the same during the spark of non-dual awareness. For most of us, we have to settle for the imperfections of this manifest world. When we aren't constantly placing inappropriate expectations of perfection on ourselves and others, then we have the freedom to relate to the many forms of life, the many manifestations, from a compassion that understands. The basic understanding is that we are finding our way home to ourselves in depth, or God. So just allowing yourself to relate to this in whatever way you are. Allow yourself to be in the center of your head. And not in the thinking mind. Allow yourself to be in the flow of the contemplative mind. This is the mind that will understand. This is the mind that will discover the freedom of compassion. Because we are no longer contracted in a place of having life to be or look a certain way before we can open our hearts. An open heart is simply a heart that understands the difference between depth and all of the imperfections on the surface or the manifested realm. So there's a big difference between putting the pressure of perfection on ourselves and the understanding that knows we're here on a journey. Where we learn who we are in the depth. To the point where there is less and less gap between depth and surface. And even then, it is never ever about perfection or an ideal. It is really one gesture after another, one divine thought after another that redirects us again and again towards our innate wholeness in depth. Or in God. And of course, this is one of the beauties of working in groups, is that we see each other's imperfections. And when we're in a group together, when we begin to sense that there's a collective field there, rather than judge myself or another from where they are, for where they are, we actually contribute to the opening up, the being where we are in our imperfection is what will heal us. So again, the paradox that we have to learn to swim in, if we are going to align ourselves with depth, can never make sense from the thinking mind. So see if you can let go of thoughts or worries and just have a glimpse. A glimpse of spaciousness. And in this, I've mentioned this before, we come to understand when we're in touch with depth that everything belongs. Even our tendency to turn away, to make choices that are not furthering our spiritual development. That somehow, by some miraculous divine intervention, we are all held in grace. Many of Jesus' parables are about this. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. So the greater law, capital G, capital L, the greater law or laws are from depth. So even though in a worldly sense someone may be deemed very successful and people admire their life, on a level of their transparency towards God, their surrender toward the higher dimensions, the deeper dimensions, is extremely lacking. And this isn't a comparing thing, even. It's merely to point out that we don't really know. From a worldly sense, we can get very confused. The story of the prodigal son, the older son who had always been rather good and followed the rules and was going to inherit his father's estate and kingdom. But the father was so thrilled and overjoyed when the younger son returned after straying and living a pretty shoddy life, there was complete forgiveness on the father's part when his son returned home. So Jesus was addressing here the immense compassion that depth has. So it has nothing to do with how good we are, but it has to do with our returning home, as in the prodigal son. That's what is to be rejoiced in, is the actual returning home to the heart of love, to the universal heart, to the divine truth of who we are. So this gesture of turning our face towards God is what begins to dissolve the confusion that somehow our idea of perfection, of what depth looks like in the world, is the right one. Whereas we don't really know. Depth is, above all else, a mystery. It's unknowable. And so the references are often about, the darkness and the not knowing. And yet, when there's two levels of knowing here, because that psalm that my thesis is based on, "Be still and know that I am God," there is a type of knowing where this spacious compassion comes from, that we are not separate from God. So in the stillness where our thinking mind is not in the foreground, where we've relaxed and we trust that life has a way of unfolding and there is a way that we are learning, we begin to have expectations fall off. And then something begins to emerge in and through us that is very different than our normal modus operandi, our normal navigational pull to life. So there may be a relaxation that you feel. There may be, you know, my, you know, whatever, my house doesn't have to look perfect all the time, or just a spontaneous gesture of awareness in feeling somebody's pain that we don't normally even notice, who usually stands on a street corner. So we can be surprised when the depth begins to emerge through us. Because it comes from the not already known. It comes from a letting go of what we think we know. So just from the center of your head, allow yourself to begin to feel a sense of the known falling away. And as we do that, as we begin to practice this profound letting go or self-emptying, this kenosis, we may experience the astounding quality, energetic quality, so paying attention to the energy, of being carried or lifted up in a way. There's a definite sense of arriving somewhere once we have practiced letting go. And it doesn't, I'm not encouraging an expectation of this. Just when you continue to do it, something shifts. You realize that you are not in control. So that in itself is pretty major. And yet, in that letting go, where the control begins to fall away, we then discover we're held in something. And it is so mysterious. I can't really say that I know how it works, but I do understand that it does. And that's all that really counts. So thank you again for participating in this series of A Journey into Stillness. And I hope you have some time, at least 10 minutes, to sit and know yourself in this place of letting go. Thank you.